This is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the LA Rams UK podcast, episode 83, Too Much Whining, Not Enough Winding. I'm John and joining me as always this evening is Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. How are you?
that's probably the best we can sort up.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, it's Niners again.
Yeah. Here was us hoping we were going to come on with a bit more kind of positivity coming off the bye week. But just like last year coming off of the bye week, it's hard to be positive at times, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Just same old, never seems to change. And it is worrying.
It is a bit. So obviously we're here tonight to obviously gloss over our week 8 loss to the 49ers. We'll talk what happens or didn't happen in the trade deadline and then preview our game this week against the Buccaneers. So obviously, 31-14 loss at home to the 49ers or the whatever Levi's North or whatever the hell they call it, South. I don't know when it is in relation to San Francisco and don't really care. But Andy, we're obviously disappointed. It's a loss. No, there's no denying that. Did you expect it to? Well, the answer is obviously yes. You did expect it to go better than this, but did you hope for a better performance than what we got? Because the first half we weren't too bad, but the second half we just fell apart.
Yeah, I was kind of coming into, you know, first quarter. I was like, oh, we've made adjustments. We're going to do this, and then come to sort of the end of the, you know, the second quarter where they sort of started to come back into it, I did have a horrible feeling that it was going to go wrong again. And then it showed again, classic, that the Niners made adjustments at halftime and we didn't. And it just comes back to what we're saying. We just don't seem to make those adjustments that we need to.
Yep, it just reminded me of the home game at the end of last season. First half, confident going in at the half. Yeah, it was a tight game, but we feel like, no, we've made adjustments enough as it is that we can go on to win this. But like you said, just like in that game, the Niners come out the second half, total different approach. They've made their adjustments and they just, you know, kind of ripped us to shreds. But the one of the most annoying things for me was it doesn't seem to matter whether Deebo Samuel's out there or not. Whoever's kind of filling in running back for the 49ers is going to throw a touchdown pass against us.
Yeah, that I just couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, again, really? How many times has this happened to us? And how? And it's just, we've never made that adjustment. And it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you know? I think for me, it's the fact it was. I think it was a 34 yard pass. So it wasn't even like a short pass. It was a pretty good one at that. But it's just. Considering that we played the Panthers pre-buy and McCaffrey was a Panther at that point, we shut him down really well, whereas we just couldn't against the 49ers, and perhaps that's down to them having a good offensive line. But it's frustrating when you've seen us neutralise them and then we absolutely totally struggle to deal with him all over the field, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like you say, their offensive line is better than the Panthers. You know, I think maybe when we played the Panthers, his heart wasn't in it anyway, because I think, you know, there was trade rumours already going round. So maybe he's thinking, I don't want to get injured, you know, when I'm potentially going to get a trade. Yeah, you don't know. But, you know, we just expected us, I say, you kind of was like, okay, he's not going to be that massive of a threat. We can deal with him. And again, I think it again comes down to Shanahan. He just seems to know how to get the best out of his running backs, no matter who it is. And, you know, they were doing schemes with Jeff Wilson on one side, McCaffrey the other side in the backfield. And I think the Rams were just like, which way do we go? And it just allowed them to cut us up with both players, to be honest. It wasn't just McCaffrey. Wilson had a decent game as well. He managed to get a good few yards and touches as well, which is, you know, worrying.
Yep, and we were saying last week that the Chiefs showed us exactly how you can tear them apart and absolutely annihilate them on offense and defense, and yet we go out and we make them look like, you know, the greatest team in the world.
Yeah, again, it's that. I think it's just that Niners curse now. And, you know, we make Jimmy G look like, you know, Tom Brady MVP. And, you know, running backs just have a laugh and run all over us. You know, I say it was disappointing that the defense, they showed us what to do. It's don't rush for, do stunts, do blitzers, bling the linebackers, you know, play about with them a little bit, confuse their offensive line, because the Niners' offensive line, they're good, but they're not great. They have holes, and we could have exposed those holes just like the Chiefs did by doing things like stunting, you know, wraparounds with players on the blitz and stuff. And it was just like, yeah, we'll just rush for and, you know, we'll see what happens. And it was over and over and over again. And we're not going to win games like that.
Yeah, and the thing is, even with the rush, like, we did sack Garoppolo 3 times. You know, I don't know, I'm correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that's the most sacks that our defense has pulled out in any one game so far this year.
Yeah.
And, which is even more frustrating.
Yeah. Probably is, or it's up there with one of them. I'm not sure. I can't remember what we got on them.
We have kind of struggled in terms of, you know, rushing from that respect, you know, trying to get to quarterbacks and, you know, bring them down. So it's one of those ones, like, again, it's like I said, the first half, kind of went, like I said, I went in at halftime and even tweeted it, like, I feel quite confident about us, that we've got a good shot. I wasn't saying confident, like, are we going to win this? Like, says, well, we've set ourselves up well. We're not doing too badly here, considering how poor we've been in previous games. But there's that literal edge missing from the defense to step up again.
Yeah, possibly. You know, to be honest, I think the one I was disappointed with most on the defense was the fact that Aaron Donald didn't feel like he did anything. You know, no. You were kind of expecting him to maybe, you know, considering he hates the Niners so much, to feast and be able to, and it just didn't seem, you know, that it almost felt like his heart wasn't in it this week. It was just like, oh, it's the Niners, we'll just go through the motions, which is unusual for him. You know, and, you know, fair play to Leonard Floyd. You know, I think I called him out last week for lack of effort.
Yeah.
It seemed to be this week he did put a bit of a shift in. Hopefully that's given him a little bit of confidence going forward. But like I say, it was a weird game of two halves, and it was just, I think they just, again, Shanahan and his defensive coaching just got the better of us, and we just didn't have an answer. And I think once we went behind, I think you could see everybody's heads went down, and it was just, yeah, here we go again.
It's quite the difference from last season where, you know, that even if the Rams did go down, we were still capable last season to come back, you know, that fourth quarter. The Rams, that even if they're, as long as they're within, say, 10, they could easily still, within the last couple of minutes, go up the field and get, you know, what's required, you know, the whole fourth quarter clutch. But this year, it's like you said, as soon as we go behind, it's a case of we're more likely to lose the game than win it, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. That's correct. But, I'd love to know what is going on behind the scenes, you know, because, like you say, even Stafford, he doesn't look confident anymore. You know, he didn't seem to be confident. It was a case of, you know, there was a few chances in the game he could have had the big shots and he just didn't bother. And then obviously, you know, players who were normally pretty reliable for us, like Higbee and even Kupp, were dropping passes. And, you know, that's normally not something we see. And it's like, is it more a case of it's just the mental edge to it of the Niners have mentally got us, or, you know, what is going on?
it is a mystery, really, isn't it? On Stafford's side of it, there's the whole like pressure on him because the amount of picks he's thrown so far this year, he's maybe second guessing himself to commit to those, you know, big throws. Not talking about like the proper downfield ones, the Hollywood pass ones. I mean, just like sizable throws, you know, like you see like a 20-yard throw or whatever like that. And it's maybe making him be slightly off because one of the drops with Higbee, you know, 9 times out of 10, Higbee's got that. I'm even looking at replays, like I couldn't see exactly how Higbee dropped like it, but it felt really weird. As the synchronization's gone, is what it seems like.
I think it looked to me like he's like, I've got this pass, I've got loads of open space, and I think he just took his eye off the ball. I think he was looking and thinking, how many yards can I get after this? You know, and he just sort of, it was like, I think lack of concentration just got to him, and he just completely dropped it. But then obviously, maybe his injury, because he did get a stinger earlier on in the game, maybe that had an issue, you know, maybe that was an issue for him, is that, you know, he was still suffering from it quite, you know, badly, because a stinger is quite a nasty injury. You know, arms and everything tend to go dead with it. So maybe he just didn't have something was up with him in that way. But like I say, even Cup, though, he dropped, you know, a fair few passes as well. You know, he dropped one or two, which, you know, is normally like unheard of.
Yeah, like this time last year, if you'd said, oh, Cup dropped a pass, I'd have laughed and called you a liar. Like, no, he didn't. Cup doesn't do that, but I think it just seems to be the synchronization is just, it's missing at present. Like you said, there's more going on than what we know about here. And at the start of the season, I was that worried over injuries that Stafford had been carrying, and the, you know, I said the amount of picks he's thrown at the start of the season, you know, some of the projects. How quarterbacks are projected to go through the season, how they're projected yards. I didn't see the yardage, but Stafford was predicted as throwing 17 touchdowns and 19 interceptions by the end of the season based off current pacing. Whereas last year, you know, it was 17 picks, but it was like something like 20 or 30 odds or something like that in the end. It's one of those ones that the pressure's really on him from that respect, and I don't know myself. And then,
or is it pressure's off because, like I said the other week, has he done his job now? I've won the Super Bowl, there's no pressure, I've done what I was brought in to do. So is it the opposite, that the pressure is completely off him now, and he's just like, man, I don't care now, I've done what I needed to do.
Yeah, well, perhaps maybe he's lost that edge, that focus.
Yeah,
you know, the whole eye of the tiger, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Because he came in and he just seemed to be so in the zone from the off last season. And it was so game focused that, like you said, as if I'm in to win the Super Bowl and that's why I'm here. And he's done it. He's like, well, that's that. I've done it now.
Job done.
Get paid. You know, that's it. Get paid, retire when my contract's up.
Yeah.
You know, sign a 1-day contract in Detroit and retire a Lion. Mm. That one, that kind of idea. Who knows? But it's been an issue all season, but you don't expect much on the ground when you come up against the 49ers. But, you know, Ronnie Rivers, our starting running back, 8 carries for 21 yards. Henderson, 4 for 16. Malcolm Brown, 5 for 10. Cup, 2 for 10. Stafford, 2 for minus 1, but got a touchdown on it. Not great on the ground as usual. And did you see, I think it was in one of these, I don't know if it was one of these press conferences or not, but an apparent quote from McVay, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, that he doesn't see the point in calling running plays. Apparently he's admitted that. He feels it's a waste of a play to call a run.
Yeah.
It's worrying.
Yeah, it's worrying as well. You just basically told every defense you're going against now, yeah, just blitz us because we're going to be passing it. You know, and especially against someone like the Bucs this week who, you know, tend to have a good thing. Yeah, their ears are going to be up, and it's going to be a case of, well, we know they're not going to run, so we don't have to worry about it. You know, whether you're getting the success or not, we still have to try and at least have that exactly. worry for teams.
Yep, or, get player action. You know, we had it in Goff's last season as quarterback. We never ran play action, so teams knew we weren't going to run the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas we have been doing play action, but, you know, McVay coming out and saying that like it's a waste of a play. Like, I'm not a coach. I'm not properly technical minded in terms of how you call plays, what kind of plays you look for, how you read defenses properly. But I even know football 101. Don't tell them you're not going to do something.
Exactly. You know, unless maybe he's going to go back to that. Maybe what we were doing a bit more of a screen type game, and maybe use screens to get the yards. I don't know, but. You know,
the thing is, though, we've shown jet sweeps work against teams, and, you know, we never tried that against the 49ers. We've shown that not that a few weeks back. In fact, it was when Skoronek got his touchdown that was, you know, he rushed it in. We've shown that we don't have to rely on Cup for those types of plays. We've got the likes of Powell. We've got Skoronek. Christ, wherever the hell he is, you know, Atwell. Surely can come into any kind of plays,
yeah, you know, with exactly. speed.
So if you're not going to go with a typical running play, throw something like that in there. Keep them guessing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we see into this week, it was like very almost vanilla. It was a very vanilla offense and vanilla defense, and it just doesn't work for us.
It does not, and we've paid the price for it, really. Repeatedly. You know, to... That's it, and it's one of those ones. I seen it was Jim Everett was asked on Twitter by someone the other day that when he was quarterback for the Rams, in terms of the atmosphere within the stadium is obviously a factor. And he was asked, Jim, when you were quarterback in the Rams, was it the same back then? And he said, yeah, it's always been this way in terms of LA. And but in his memory, he can't remember a game where as Rams quarterback. It felt like they were playing away from home. And one of the things he did say that we have to bear in mind that the Rams have been away from LA since the mid-90s. The fan base has became disjointed, and guys weren't necessarily going to become St. Louis fans. They were going to other teams. So, I guess we're like 4 or 5 years down the line and moving back to LA. The Super Bowl is going to help, but he was even saying to himself, it's just going to be time. We're going to have to just be patient. Eventually, as the years go by, a lot of younger fans will start coming through. The days of, you know, the 49ers takeover will hopefully, and he was saying hopefully become a thing in the past, but it's definitely... It's definitely worrying the amount of 49ers fans that can easily get tickets and the effect it has on us, doesn't it? Because I actually think it seems to be more hostile playing the 49ers at home than it is away. Do you agree?
Yeah, it does seem that way. I think as well, going to the whole LA thing, LA has historically anyway, basketball and baseball town, you know, city that's traditionally been that way. So you're trying to compete with... you know, successful teams as well. It's not just others, they're there and, you know, like some teams have, you know, they're very successful teams. So you are trying to compete. So it is going to be difficult. But yeah, it does always feel like it's a more hostile environment for us. But, you know, obviously San Francisco is only, I think, a couple of hours up the road drive. So, you know, it is, you know, and they do tend to travel well. So, you know, but you, again, you'd think by now, We should be used to it. We know what's going to come. You just treat it as much as you're at home. You treat it as an away game, silent counts, whatever you need to do, and just, you know, to get over it. And we don't, again, you know, I know people say it's an excuse, but I don't feel it's that much of an excuse that, you know, it's not as if it's the first time we're playing this team. We'll play them twice every year.
Yeah.
We should know what to expect by now and adjust to it accordingly.
Yep, like when I saw those comments from Jimmy Everett saying that, you know, going back to his days, it was exactly the same. Like you just said, there is no excuse for it. This isn't a new thing. Yeah. If this is the way it's truly been in LA for years and years and years, then we have to just suck it up and get on with it. Like you said, treat it like an away game and just get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that is it. What we have to do is just like, okay, well, we're at home, but it's an away game. Let's just get on with it.
That's it. And let's just try and put it in the past now. They've, you know, been the bragging rights of a clean sweep against us again. I think it's 4 years now in the regular season since we last beat them. I suppose it's one of those ones that the saving grace is we won the one that mattered, I guess. And
yeah, you know, at the end of the day, we beat them when it mattered the most, and that's all that matters, you know. Yes, it would be nice to, you know, beat them just to get that, I think, that monkey off our back and just sort of be like, right, you know what, we've done it now, maybe that take that pressure off. But
You would hope that, because the last thing I want to talk about on the game itself is how can we beat them in a championship game but can't beat them any other time?
I think in that game it was, again, I think it was the heart of players. I think, you know, we all saw the images of, you know, AD on the sideline, you know, ripping into the defence, crying and, you know, getting really passionate. And I think, you know, that probably fired the players up more than anything else, you know, because even that win, it was mainly on our defence that won that game for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was just one of them as well. We had that little bit of luck, you know, the dropped pick that, you know, potentially could have ended the game for us, you know, there and then. We, you know, we just had that luck. But I do think it was a case of the likes of AD and that, and, you know, maybe having Von Miller in the building was a bigger, you know, advantage. Big Whit being there, maybe, you know, we've all seen images over the years of Big Whit being with us, beginning of games, during the games, you know, firing players up, getting players going. You know, maybe that's the what we're missing more than anything, is those more veteran players who are, you know, have that locker room presence to be able to take a grip and get these games done. But again, you know, like, there was nothing from AD. He was just sat there the whole game on the bench. No, didn't he? I don't think he spoke once. You know, and that's where you want to look at players to sort of fire them up and go, you know, all right, you know what, second half, they've scored 7. We've not replied. Right, back to the defence. We're going to do this again. And it just never felt like anybody's heart was in it.
Well, that's it. And the likes of Aaron Donald, he's the kind of guy that people look to kind of, like, go up and be vocal. He's one of the leaders. He's one of the influential guys on that roster that if he got up and started, you know, mouthing off, come on, guys, we need to do this, we need to get, you know, we need to get finger out, we need to step up, the offense is struggling, it needs to be on us, let's go out there and do what we do best. You know, the other guys in the defense would come out and, you know, they'd step up, but like you said, it's just not there. But I mean, in Donald's defence, he has previously said he's not really that type of guy.
And no.
But he can be that type of guy. So
he proved it.
Yeah, he needs to maybe just be that guy again, because when he was, you know, like in that NFC Championship game, it made guys, you know, like, Christ, Donald's that. He's going off in one. Right, we need to do this because he never speaks. It's one of those ones like, Christ, that. This is how big this is. This is how bad it's getting if we don't step up here. So we need, I guess, more. And it's not even just the defence, right? Because in general, our defence hasn't been too bad this season. It's the offence that's the problem. We need those guys that are vocal on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe we are missing Big Whit more for his locker room presence than anything else. Yeah. You know, someone like him. I don't think Stafford's that sort of player. I just don't think, you know, I don't think I've ever seen him get passionate and fired up in my entire life of watching the NFL. He's not that sort of person. But, you know, we need somebody on that team to step up, you know. I honestly thought maybe Havenstein would have took that role over, you know, as the senior guy on that line to basically, right, I'll take over from Witt and do it. And, you know, I don't think we have any players on that side of the ball now who can be that passionate and get players fired up in the same way. And, you know, that is a worry that you do need these, you do need sometimes players to fire us up.
Yep, we definitely do. And unfortunately, like losing the guys like Big Wet, it's going to be a case of trying to find someone to bring in that can be like that, because unfortunately no one seems to be kind of stepping up to assume and take on those kind of roles, sadly. So yeah, that was the week 8 loss to the 49ers. Just looking elsewhere, anything from the other games that caught your attention, Andy?
Yeah, obviously Seattle still seems to be rolling. I don't know what is going on there. You know, Geno Smith MVP season, clearly now at this point, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that is probably, you know, one of the shocks of the season so far. Obviously, Eagles stay unbeaten, so, you know, that is kind of worrying for the division that, you know, if we do get to the playoffs, I think potentially at the moment we would be playing them, you know, which is a really big worry.
I wouldn't like to come up against the Eagles at all.
No.
I've not got them in the regular season, but it's definitely one and done if we're going to come against, if we're going to be lucky to come against them in the playoffs.
I think, well, you know, everything that's happening at the moment, you know, with Tampa Bay as well, are pretty much the same as us. I think this is going to be quite an important game because obviously, you know, they're basically in the same position as we are now, you know, which is a bit of a worry.
Yep. Did you watch the London game at the weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. The Denver Jacksonville game. Yeah. That was, it felt like Jacksonville was done and dusted and were basically going to walk away with it. And then, you know, fair play to Denver. And, you know, they seem to come back a little bit and, you know, actually managed to win the game. So, you know, maybe things are starting to click for them as well.
Yep. And I seen an interview post-game. It was just a run-of-the-mill interview. Nothing really right home about, but it made me kind of question, again, Russell Wilson, who, you know, he's... Oh, but in fact, last week we talked about Russell Wilson, these like creepy like adverts. He's working out on the plane and he's got like Justin Tucker like parody on that. But done an interview with a reporter, nothing to write home about. But it made me question: do you think Russell Wilson is contractually obliged to always say Broncos country, let's ride at every interview? Because, you know, win or loss, you know, if he's getting absolutely ripped apart, he always finishes it. And the reporter who interviewed him looked absolutely disgusted with him. Like, for God's sake, man. Like, stop saying this.
Yeah, you, maybe so. Oh, it's a bit weird, you know.
It's really
maybe
weird because, like, yeah, until he started saying it, I can't remember a quarterback or a player ever saying it. Like, I've maybe missed it. Maybe it's more obvious now because he's doing it that often, but it's almost as, and maybe just wants to be loved that much by Broncos fans.
Yeah.
He's just trying too hard, but it's coming across just in the wrong way from my perspective.
I think I do remember seeing, I think when he, obviously on NFL news or wherever it was, that, you know, they were sort of him entering the building. There was a sign that he had his picture taken in front of, and I think that sort of quote was on the sign. So maybe he saw that, so that's what he's going with. But yeah, it is a bit weird. I've never
stepped back.
It's just a little bit weird for him. But yeah, yeah. So you know, it seems to be at the moment, you know, the NFC is beginning to sort of sort itself out a little bit, and you know, at the moment we may be lucky not to. If we're not careful, we're going to end up being out of this playoff race the way it's going.
Yeah, that's it. We're also sitting, you know, it says 3-4 on screen. It should be 4-4. The 49ers, obviously, they are moved above us in the ranking. So the Seahawks obviously lead the division, 5-3, 49ers, and us, and then the Cardinals bringing up the rear. But like you said, in years gone by where, you know, you could finish third in the NFC West and still make the playoffs, it definitely looks to be a case of only the, you know, the winner is, you know, guaranteed to get in the way things are going, especially the way the NFC East is looking like at the moment there.
Yeah, that Dallas had quite a big win again.
They did, yes. 49-29 over the Bears.
Yeah, you know, but I think this week there wasn't as many shocking results. I think, obviously, you know, I think the Bucs losing was, you know, but the Baltimore seems to be finally getting it together. And
yeah,
I think the only other shocking one really was the fact the Saints battered the Raiders 24-0.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shout out there. The Panthers Falcons game. Well, I mean, that went to overtime.
Yeah,
missed field goals.
Yeah, due to a mistake by the scoring player that basically set them back because he decided to take his helmet off to celebrate, which you just know you don't do.
Nope.
Silly mistakes. At least one good thing was Minnesota did us a favour by beating Arizona.
Aye, they did.
It was about the only saving grace, I think, from the weekend was the fact that they did give us a favour.
Yep. So it's not really a short result, but I was surprised that the Jets losing it to the Patriots. You know, on paper that sounds like the norm, but the Jets have looked, you know, quite a decent team.
They have. I think just losing that Breece Hall, I think, you know, he's quite a dynamic player for them. I think losing him is, you know, quite a big thing for their offense. They've lost that element, but you know they brought him what's his face from the Jaguars, Robinson, I think it is.
Yep, it's Robinson. Yeah, James Robinson.
Yeah, so you know, hopefully, obviously, he's not that speedy back, but you know he's been successful in Jacksonville, so you know maybe once they get him up to speed, that might help them a little bit.
So yep, moving on. So obviously on Tuesday the trade deadline closed and the Rams made no moves. Are you shocked by that, considering, you know, in previous years, within the month of October, you know, like last year, we brought in, obviously, Von Miller. A couple of years ago, we brought in Jalen Ramsey. It's a bit of a surprise that we haven't made any moves, or do you think there's an underlying current, that there's a realisation occurring at the club?
50-50, to be honest. I was kind of maybe expect, you know, it is us, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, it did sound like we were in for a few. But I think this is, again, the strategy of we've given away so many picks over the past few years to win the Super Bowl last year that we can't afford to be in the races anymore with these guys, you know. I think, you know, I think the big one was obviously Brian Burns, but we just didn't have the first rounder that they wanted for, you know, this upcoming draft.
That's it, yeah, because they did say they wanted two first-round picks. The Rams did offer two first-round picks, but like you just said, the Panthers are obviously trying to rebuild and they want as many picks in this next draft as possible. Because we don't have a first-round pick this year coming, it's you know, it's a non-starter. And, you know, there's the talk that we offered Cam Akers as part of it as well. And, you know, it was just, you know, knocked back.
Yeah. It's like, to be honest, I'm kind of glad we didn't get him because I just think as much as we need, you know, maybe people do think we need that edge help, which, you know, I think it would have been, a bit of an overpay because we would also have to pay the guy as well. You know, and he's not going to be a cheap contract. You know, we're already behind the cap for next year before we've even, you know, done anything. So, you know, how many players would we have to lose to sort of keep these players? Or would he be another Von Miller? Would he be a 6-month rental and then he'd go at the end of the year because we can't afford him?
Yep. Just on like just the kind of like trade and thing, we ran a poll on Twitter, which finished on Tuesday, just asking people, what position did you see the Rams trading for? And so we had 37% wanted running back, 1% wide receiver, 33% offensive line, and 27% edge. So majority of people were looking for a running back. And that, are you like? So we obviously went after Brian Burns. Are you surprised that we didn't really seem to go after anyone else?
Again, you don't know exactly who we've been after. You know, there was rumours of Brandon Cooks, you know, potentially, but I think his contract was the big stumbling block on that one.
And that was confirmed today to be the case that the Rams were basically like, we can't pay that. No, we've not got money for that.
Yeah, and I did see something on Twitter this morning. Apparently, Cooks is actually potentially looking at doing what OBJ did at Cleveland last year, which is basically, you know, cancel my contract, I want to go, and then basically come into a team on a free agency signing. type of deal, you know, for league minimum, you know. So we'll I think we'll have to see what happens over the next week or two with regards to that one.
Would you take him? I wouldn't.
No.
Against the guy, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference, to be honest.
No, it's not a position that we really need to invest in, you know. And he is injury prone. He was always injury prone with us. He seemed to every other game have a concussion, you know, and be out for a couple of weeks. So, you know, with the way the NFL is these days with concussion protocol and everything, it would not be worth it for me. He gives us that bit of speed, I think, that we need. But no, I prefer personally wouldn't want him. I don't think trading for a runner back is worth it, to be perfectly frank, because no matter who we put behind there, like I've said previously, we could have Derrick Henry behind there. I don't think anyone would get the yards behind that of how badly the offensive line has played, especially run blocking, more importantly than pass blocking. They seem to have cleaned up the pass block a little bit, but the run blocking is still absolutely pathetic, and I think that's just because they're so undersized, to be perfectly honest, that, you know, we don't really have. I think we've got one player that's over 300 pounds, you know, for an offensive line. It's kind of, you know, they are quite weak in terms of, I think, strength, you know. And, you know, I think we need to start looking, I think, as well, at reality of we can't keep this going forever. At some point, they're going to have to tear it down and start again, and we need the draft picks to be able to do that.
Well, that's it. Yeah, we've got a question in from Ian Woodley, and he was kind of asking around the kind of trade thing, what should we read into the lack of trade activity? If we're written the season off, has it all an approach to win last year's Super Bowl meant we've now tied ourselves up in deals with literally nothing to trade? And, you know, he says, you know, if those picks didn't, you know, age well, you know. So for me, the lack of trade activity to me suggests that for the kind of guys that the Rams are looking to maybe move out, they're not attractive for anyone to take. You know, we had talks about Acres was offered in deals, not just for Burns but elsewhere as well. And the kind of consensus came back was that no, don't want him. Why do we take him? He's not going to add anything to us, so it's a waste. A trade, so it is a case of just we don't have, like I said, we're not going to capital, but we've not got the assets that we want to trade.
Yeah. Bottom line is we've done all that leading up to last year for the Super Bowl. We've basically done all that sort of stuff. We can't compete with teams anymore. We are going to have to accept that fact that, you know, this year especially, we may be a little bit better next year. We'll see how the team, you know, goes, because I think from the next draft, you know, 2024, we do have a pick again, first round pick. But, you know, at some point, I think the team does have to look and go, you know, players are getting older, Ramsey's getting older, Stafford's getting older, Cup's getting older. You know, Donald's still up in the air. You know, he might not even come back at the end of this year. You know, McVay's potentially up in the air. You know, at some point, we have to, you know, stop and just say, you know what, hit reset. We're constantly scrapping against the cap anyway. So at some point, you know, it, as much as we can weave our cap magic, at some point it is going to catch up with us. And we may have to just accept, right, we're going to have to keep them and maybe trade out some players to get extra capital in so that we can start a rebuild.
Well, that is, it is the harsh reality that the bubble is going to have to bust at some point.
And I think it's closer than people think.
Yeah. I feel like the needle is against the bubble, just about to press it. Mm. And, you know, the talk that's came the last day or so that McVay is going to leave, you know, when the core group of players that we've got here, you know, like Sakup, Ramsey, Donald, Stafford go, that's when he's going to go. It's the question I've got within that is, when you're saying about the core group of players going, do you mean all of them or do you mean some? Because that's quite vague. That could be a few years, or it could be, well, Aaron Donald's jacking in at the end of the season. So let's just say, for talking's sake, right, well, if Donald's gone, then my defence has lost a big player.
Yeah.
But the other side you could look at it is, if he's gone, depends when it frees up. You know, I think McVay's saying, no, when these kind of, this core group are gone, I'm retiring. For me, I'm not happy with those comments because I feel like you're going to abandon ship instead of trying to prove how good a coach you really could be. I mean, he's built the team up when he's came in, got us to the Super Bowl, had to rebuild again, got us to the Super Bowl and won it. He's capable of a rebuild, but maybe it's a case of, does he want to go through it? Can he be bothered going through it? And that, like, yeah. Listen, I'm annoyed I'm making those comments. Like, just don't make those comments and just go when you're ready. You know, just say, like, I've taken this team as far as I can go. I'm like, it's time for a fresh approach. You know, that line, don't go, no, when these players go, I'm off. Because that just feels like you're it's a matter of time before you're going to abandon us.
Yeah, and you've got to think, is that going to come into players' heads? Well, it's no point me playing because, you know, you're not committed. And, yeah, I did see one or two people complaining. You know, I think after one of the players, I can't remember which one it was, they went to McVay just stood there laughing on the sideline. You know, and a lot of players have been called, you know, fans have been calling them out. Going, why has he stood there laughing? Is, you know, was it a case of he's just like, oh, you know, I can't win this game no matter what I do? Or is it a case of, maybe his heart's not in it anymore because again he's done what he's needed to do. When you get, as you say, when you get comments like that of, well, when the core group's gone, I'm gone. You know, people are starting to question: is his heart in the right place for this team? Are we better off?
Yeah, has he jumped the shark?
Yeah, and you know, I have seen one or two people, you know, throughout the week on Twitter, you know, saying, you know, if his heart's not in it, now is the time for us to just tear the thing down. Just be like, we'll trade Donald, Cup, Ramsey, everyone, and just, you know, the draft haul we get off those guys alone would basically allow us to rebuild in one, you know, potentially in 1 or 2 years.
Well, that's that, yeah. And the other thing is, like, some of the contracts those guys are on as well, you know, it would free up. I'm not saying we can betray these players right now.
I'm just
hypothetically speaking, when it kind of comes to that point of the bubbles burst, we now need to think long term for this franchise before, because we cannot go through, LA's the kind of market, you can't go through the dark days that we had in St. Louis. You can't do that in LA. It's too big a market that it could seriously cripple the franchise. Because there's just that many eyes that, like, so I guess it's one of the reasons why they kind of looked to move out of LA in the first place. You know, just the team wasn't successful, you know, fresh approach, I guess, or whatnot. You just, we have to be smart in terms of the long-term aspirations. So, you know, everyone wants to win a Super Bowl, right? But We've went all in. We have literally went all in to get it.
Yeah.
Maybe we talked about this last year, even in the run-in, even before we even made the playoffs. It's like, it's going to get to a point where we have to get rid of these players for the good and the longevity of the franchise in LA, as much as we don't want to, because Cup having a season like last year, you know, fair enough, it didn't take, he could have held out for even more money than what he's getting, and I wouldn't have grudged him for it because it'd be worth every penny, but it eats into your cap space, like you say yourself, like you're very well versed in how the cap runs and what we've got and what we can do.
Yeah,
but these guys getting bigger contracts prevents us from going out and bringing in talent or being able to trade and bring in talent. Like, for example, just using Cook's example, like, just say we wanted to bring, we said, yeah, I want him in. Can he pay you? Because we've not got the money. Because we're paying X, Y, and Z. All these millions that, you know, we have to pay them to keep them on the roster. You've talked about the offensive line, undrafted free agents, you know, guys that are like very low round picks that are coming in to fill in. No, it's not a discredit to them because they can only go out and do what they can. You know, they're not, some of these guys aren't starters, and you know, I don't want to be critical of them even with kind of poor performances they've had this year. They're going out and doing the best they can, being shunted about and whatnot. But
yeah.
The more big contracts, like you said, we're becoming very top heavy a roster in terms of contracts.
Yeah, and the problem is as well, where we're doing these sort of deals where, you know, we're paying them bonuses so we get, you know, so the cap is not as bad this year. Eventually that will catch up with us. You know, that is going to catch up with us. I mean, we look at Matt Stafford. He has a 30 million cap hit this year. Next year, his cap hit's 20 million.
There's only so much restructuring you can do.
The cap in 2024 for Matt Stafford is 50 million off the cap because of how we structured his contract.
I'm going to say it right now. I don't think Matt Stafford will be a Ram that year. No. Because there's no way they're going to pay him that.
No. You know, AD goes up from 26 million up to 34 million. You know, all these contracts that have got to be paid, you know, Leonard Floyd goes up massively as well. You know, he jumps up to 22.5 million in the final year of his contract. You know, so at some point we have to look at this and go, well, you know what? We can't afford for this all these players to stay because we will literally have no cap. We won't even have enough cap to be able, you know, a few players, and basically, you know, that's 2/3 of our cap gone. You know, the team does have to start looking long term and go, well, you guys, some of you have got to go. You know, and this is where I think maybe the hope and some players will retire. You know, maybe that final year as the, you know, it'll be, Donald's going to retire, you know, maybe in 2 years' time. Is maybe that's what the contract's been set up for. You know, but it eventually is going to be, you know, a case of something has to be done.
Yep, and I suppose it's one of those ones, though, we kind of need to get through this season first, because perhaps it's a case of, right, we've tried to trade in for guys, right, it's not going to happen, right, we're going to have to just work with what we've got, we're going to have to just see this through to the end and just see what happens. And that brings us on to our week 9 matchup against the Buccaneers. So Sunday night kickoff, 9:25, and it's the Sky Sports game again. Don't know why Sky Sports want to have us, to be honest with.
Yeah, it's because Neil Reynolds loves Tom Brady, doesn't he?
Very much so, isn't it?
Yeah.
So normally, when I'd ask you how you feel going into this game, I'd ask you, are you confident or not? I can't even bring myself to ask you that. How do you think it's going to go?
I can't predict it anymore, to be brutally honest. You know, both teams are playing poorly, and I think I don't want to be doom and gloom already, but this game could potentially define both teams' seasons.
Yes, definitely.
Whoever loses potentially could be knocking themselves out of the NFC playoff race.
Yep, and kind of just looking at our kind of like predictions we've got for the group of people, it's very tight. It's 15 in favour of a loss and 12 in favour for a win, so kind of literally just over the other side of the fence, expecting us to lose. And it's obviously in Tampa as well, so it's not even at home. Last year, fared a lot better, but you know, we fared a lot better against pretty much everyone except the Niners, I guess.
Let's be honest, we've gone into their stadium before and beat them, so it's, you know, I don't think their stadium's as daunting as I think people, you know, it's not one of the most noisy crowds in the league, to be honest, apart from those stupid cannons, but you know, that's besides the point. You know, but yeah, it's one of those games now that I think at the moment we just can't predict what team's going to show up. If we get first half Niners team, yeah, I think we'll batter them. I think we'll win. And I think we could potentially comfortably win against them. You know, but if we get the second half team from the Niners game, we're going to get battered. I think Tom Brady will pick us apart because he is the quintessential short passing game quarterback. You know, quick throws, get it out quickly. You know, he's renowned for that.
And that's the thing is that you said on those kind of quick throws, we're eating up too much. We're giving up too much yardage allowing. Because we did have a question come in from Lewis Perry just while you brought that up. Do we stick with a soft zone as our defense? Has it been horrendous the whole season, or do we make a change to press man? And probably one of the reasons why he's asking that is because a lot of analysts have been looking at our defence, which apparently we rank, I think we rank 31st in terms of kind of our pass defence, because we're playing this soft zone. And it is, you know, sitting, you know, the best part of 10 yards off rather than, you know, at the line of scrimmage, it's allowing them to essentially, they can throw screen passes, they can throw 5-yard passes and just slowly eat away at the yards. So everyone's quick to kind of criticise Raheem Morris. He's not done too bad, but do you think this is a decision that to move to this soft zone, he needs to, you know, just own it, that it's not going to work long term here? You know, in terms of like for example, Wagner, you know, in the middle, you know, the linebackers, you know, the pass rush could be better, but our secondary can be horrific at times to watch because of this soft zone, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd love for us to go a bit more press man coverage, you know, and sort of, but it worries me that we don't have the players capable of doing it. That's my issue, is we don't have the players capable. And again, it comes back to, because we have been drafting so low, you know, for the past number of years, that the players we're bringing in, you know, for players like corner, you know, if you have a slow 40 time, that knocks you down massively in the draft.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and it has been showing that players, you know, even average players have got the speed to get around and past these guys, you know, so, you know, it does worry me. That's the only thing that would worry me, is that, you know, I think we sometimes play the soft shell because he knows he doesn't want players getting over the top of him. But, you know, personally for me, I'd just go, right, Jalen Ramsey, right, who's their number one receiver, right? You're just going to stick on him all game, wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Press man him, and then maybe sort of mix it up a little bit. But I do feel, though, we do have to, you know, coming back to it, we have to adapt and we have to mix things up. We need to maybe bring in a little bit of more, maybe, you know, 60-40 split, you know, just to keep quarterbacks guessing as well. Because, again, it's so vanilla, it's so thingy, you know, that quarterback can just look and know what we're going to do. And they know, right, okay, well, we can dink and dunk, you know, as you say, 5-yard passes, screens, you know, 10-yard passes. We're guaranteed pretty much every throw. If it connects, they're pretty much guaranteed first downs. You know, and I think we do need to sort of start scheming a little bit and maybe just trusting these players a bit that, yeah, okay, they may not be the quickest, but hopefully they have the intelligence to still be able to play a little bit of press man. And, you know, maybe this is where, you know, we do play a lot of sort of quarters coverage as well, I've noticed. You know, maybe we need to come out of that a little bit and maybe play a little bit more. Maybe bring the safeties a bit wider to allow, you know, to give that coverage for the cornerback to sort of man up to him, you know. And then at least, well, if he does get over the top, the safety's back there, you know, who should hopefully be able to, you know, break it up anyway. Yeah, you're giving up the big play, but at least it's not a touchdown.
Exactly.
Whereas at the moment, if it's a big play, it seems to be, it's always a touchdown against us now.
Well, that's it. Like, if you take the McCaffrey touchdown pass as an example, so on that play, McCaffrey breaks out to the right, and it's, you know, it's essentially, it's a screen pass to him, I guess.
Yeah.
That he then throws. Now, because of that, you know, screen to him, that is going to, that because it's soft zone, you know, the cornerback's just basically standing there watching him. He's then brought forward to then go, well, it's a screen pass. And the safety isn't covering. Like you said, maybe if the safeties were wide on a play like that, that touchdown doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think as well, it was just perfectly on that one schemed as well, because if you watch the defense, even our safety started crashing down, thinking he was just going to run. Everybody crashed to him, which then freed the players up, you know, to get over the top, you know. So you've got to be, you know, a bit clever and maybe not go for that. But, you know, it's just fair play to him on that one. It's just one of them gate balls that they seem to, you know, he just seems to be able to do. But, you know, we do need to, like I say, maybe just change it up. I'm not saying go completely out of it, you know, because I think it is now, you know, that's our scheme for the season, to change your scheme completely mid-season. I think would cause too many problems. But I think maybe just mix a little bit of man in, you know, just to sort of try and keep teams on the you know, the guess, and maybe allow, you know, Jalen Ramsey a chance maybe to get some picks, because, you know, he dropped a couple at the weekend that, you know, potentially
he's really close. Yeah.
He really, you know, I think any other, again, I think, you know, the luck, you know, if it was any other team, he'd have probably picked them and walked off. But because it's the Niners, you know, he's just dropped them and didn't quite get them. But, you know, maybe it would give that players like him a chance to maybe start picking some more balls off and maybe, you know, killing drives. Because at the moment, we're not getting that many, unless the ball's physically being thrown to the player himself, because he's got lucky. We're not really getting that many picks. No. You know, maybe by doing that, it would allow the likes of Ramsey, you know, to maybe grab a couple of balls out the air and be like, right, you know what, you know, and to stop them that way. And we have to do something, you know, and this is, you know, potentially one way of doing it.
Yep. So in terms of the game, where's the pinch points for you? And try not to say the offense or the offensive line.
Our defense getting at Brady and getting at Brady fast. You know, they are very much, I think, in a similar position, or not quite as the, but they've lost a lot of, you know, their O-line, either through injuries or obviously a retirement. You know, they are on this, you know, rookies, second, you know, players who really shouldn't be playing this year. And I think teams have shown this year they can get after Brady. If you can get after him quick enough, that line's not going to, and this is where we need our defense, you know, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald, to basically be like, you know what, right, we're just going to come up against you. And maybe, like I say, scheme some stunts in, get some wraparounds, do something. Because, you know, otherwise, Brady is just going to sit back there all day and pick us apart. Because he's, you know, he's quite happy to dunk and dunk it 5-10 yards ago, you know, and wear that defense out. And, you know, I think offensively, I'm going to say, pass defense-wise, I think our O-line has got a lot better over the past couple of weeks. You know, we only gave up 2 sacks in the last game, you know, which for us is like unheard of. That's a, you know, very good game for us. You know, so it seems to be, you know, we seem to have maybe cleaned some of that stuff up. Maybe Jackson going to left tackle is just what we actually did need. It's given us that stability.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we just need to see that first half offense from us that we had against the Niners, where, you know, we were doing basically what they did. You know, I think we had 9-minute drives, you know, just
eat the clock up.
Yeah, eat the clock up, dink and dunk. Keep trying the run game. Yeah, I don't think they're, you know, the Bucs' run defense isn't as good as it was last year. You know, they were number one last year. They're not as good this year. They are, you know, they've lost a few pieces themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as much as we say the run game's not effective, we have to keep it going, which will then hopefully allow us to open up that playbook a little bit more. And, you know, let's do some sweeps, screens, bubble screens, you know, and let's just see if we can, you know, get the ball moving, you know, and hopefully, you know, there has been one or two rumours over Cup this week about this ankle injury. Hopefully he'll be good to go, because if he's not good to go, I think we will struggle, you know.
Yep. On the topic of Cup, he is practicing but in a limited capacity today. Brian Allen, who had some swelling in his knee, is fully participating, as is Van Jefferson, and good. Cam Akers has returned to practice.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it'll be interesting to see if they can put their differences aside and, you know, try to go on with it. I mean, I guess in one respect, you can see that if we want to get rid of Akers and Akers wants to leave, then the best thing for both sides is for him to screw it up, get his head down, perform, and show teams why they should take him.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the reasons why I don't think he was traded as well, just going back to the whole trade talk, is simply because the team's expecting him to get cut. They're not going to give up a draft pick for someone who potentially, you know, on Tuesday would have been cut and that they've had him for free.
Yeah, because he's still on his rookie contract, so this one is, we wouldn't really lose much by cutting them. So
no, it would be negligible of what we'd get, and then teams could have picked him up for negligible as well. You know, so I think for a lot of teams, they ain't going to do that. but you know, maybe you know, from what I've heard from the camp, there has been good positive talks, and that's why he's back. You know, and they do want to try and work through some stuff. You know, apparently that there was stuff about he wasn't happy with the way the run game was being run and everything else, which, you know, for a rookie player who's not done much, is kind of, you know, you could, you know, if it was somebody like an Aaron Donald or a Jalen Ramsey criticizing the coaches is one thing.
Yeah.
Cam Akers has no justification to be criticizing coaches, I'm sorry to say. Yeah, the run game's a shambles, but at the end of the day, you're a part of it.
Yeah, because with all due respect, he's not done anything to justify having an opinion like that.
He had a half decent rookie season, and that was it.
Yep, that's it. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits into the game, if at all. And hopefully this week we actually get to see Van Jefferson, because we just didn't. He suited up, but you know he didn't get any targets or anything.
No,
get into the game.
So, you know, maybe the fact, you know, that Allen Robinson is getting a little bit more involved in games is going to take up away some of his targets.
Perhaps,
you know, and maybe, you know, obviously Darrell Henderson got a few catches, you know, and Brent Squanick got one. So, you know, I think more for Van Jefferson, they're just getting him back up to speed, because obviously he's missed quite a bit of the season. So I think it's just getting him fit, getting him up to speed again.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully as, you know, the season comes on, they can get him a little bit more involved.
Yep. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Sunday goes for us. So moving on to the remaining questions we've got coming in. First one we've got from Dan Flint is, will Atwell ever get a chance? Was Van held out after so long because he's not fit, just like you're saying, or a little bit because it was on turf? And how worried should we be by Cup's ankle injury? Start with Atwell.
I'll start with Atwell. Personally, I do feel he deserves a chance. You know, we need to find ways of scheming him. Like you say, whether it's sweeps, you know, let's use his speed. Let's just see. You know, it is an element of the offense that we are missing is speed. And, you know, he is, you know, supposedly a very quick player. So, you know, I would like to see him get a chance, but I just don't know whether McVay will do it. Because obviously, I think if he was going to get a chance, it would have been while Van Jefferson was injured.
I think
if Van Jefferson come back now, you know, there's only so much of the ball they can spread around. So, you know, barring an injury, I just don't see it this season.
The other thing that is, though, is if the season's going to be a bit of a bust, surely you give him more. Because if, you know, if we're going to, you know, come away with nothing, if it's going to get to a point where we're not going to make a playoffs, then it's like, well, why should I put the likes of Cup out there like for 100% of the plays? I'll rotate him as well and get Atwell some more targets, you know, bring McCutcheon in, you know, give him a go. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
maybe for the season, if it's not going to go the way we're hoping it will go, knowing the way McVay is, it wouldn't happen, but any other coach you would think would go, well, if I'm not going to get this, then I want to bring as many guys through as I can to get a proper look at them against actual teams, not pre-season, against the actual teams.
Yeah, that would make sense, to be honest. It would make a lot more sense, you know, bring them in, get them some touches. Let's see what we do have potentially, you know, for, you know, moving forward into next season and beyond, you know. But as you say, whether McVay would do that is a different matter.
Yep. In terms of Van, you were just saying there that it's, you know, he has missed, you know, almost half of a season, so you can't expect him to be match fit, I guess, is the kind of terminology I would use.
Yeah.
To him in there, eh?
And I think as well, I think I did see earlier on in the injury report, apparently he has been having his knee again was flaring up. So, you know, maybe he's not 100% fit yet. I don't think the turf would have anything to do with it, because let's be honest, it's our home field.
Well, that's it, yeah.
You should be used to playing on our home field. If you can't play on our home field, there's something wrong.
Well, that's it, yeah. And if I'm right, like, you know, I think at least half of the teams, I don't know the exact, I'll look in here, but, you know, at least half of the teams play on artificial surfaces these days. You know, it's not every team's got, you know, turf. When we say turf, we mean grass. We don't mean artificial turf. So it's like you said, well, it's our home field, so we should be able to play on it. But in terms of Cup's ankle injury, I think I've seen that it was it's soft tissue. But let's be honest here. You know, they talked about Stafford with his elbow injury, and you're not going to exactly tell us, oh, he's Cup's ankle's worse than what we're letting on. They're not going to say that, are they?
No, I think after the whole Gurley issue, I think, you know, a lot of people are a bit worried, you know, with take everything that comes out of the team now injury-wise with a pinch of salt. But I think Cup is one of those players, even if he's 90% fit to go, he'll still want to be out there and playing. Yeah, I don't think the only thing that I say always worries me is that, you know, I'd rather rest him a week or two and then keep him for the rest of the season rather than pushing him through. And then, you know, he ends up getting it worse and then that's him out for a whole season. And that's basically our team finished offensively at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. It would be. Gary Cook asks, just on the offence, continuing this theme, do you think the lack of spark in our offence could be down to the departure of Kevin O'Connell as offensive coordinator, or do you think it's purely down to the players we have available? We've kind of talked about the synchronisation, and obviously we've talked at length about the offensive line, but what do you think? Do you think it's the players, or do you think it's been that change in the coaching staff?
It's an interesting one to think about, because obviously I think traditionally when you think of the Rams, it's basically the offensive coordinator is not a big part of it, because, you know, McVay's this offensive genius, you know, and I think, you know, people, the offensive coordinator is almost there just to, because they have to have one, you know. But, you know, you do wonder, maybe he did have a little bit more influence than we thought, you know, maybe he did. It would be interesting, but you can see the correlation between he goes and then the whole team falls apart, basically, yeah. Offensively. But, you know, like I say, I think, you know, people traditionally, as I said, it's supposed to be McVay's the genius, and his offensive coordinator is just there to do other stuff. You know, he calls the play, you know, McVay calls plays, he does everything, you know. But, yeah, it would be interesting to see, you know, just how much maybe, you know, maybe there is a little bit to it.
I would probably personally say it's a combination of both, to be honest with you, because whilst McVay is, you know, the one calling the plays, McVay will have, this is how I want to play. The way I kind of look at it is, it's the same with, you know, normal football, where you've got, you know, you've got like four or five coaches behind a manager. The manager dictates the style of play and how he wants to do it. It's up to the coaches to develop that system. And that's how I think I could be wrong when I say this. This is just how I perceive it, is that McVay says, I want to do this, I want to do that. And the likes of Connor goes, okay, right, well, it's up to me to take your instructions and make it happen. So then he works with all the other coaching staff, say, I want you to do X, Y, and Z with Stafford. I want you to be running Cup, telling him to do this, do that, and whatnot. So I think it's more a case of him. O'Connell is obviously, he's doing quite well in his head coaching role at the Vikings. And you know, you can see flashes of the style of play that we played last year, now in Minnesota. So that's why I think it's a combination of both, because he's developed a system. I mean, Vay's told him how he wants to play and what he wants to get out of players. He's went and developed that, and he's now got a system that he can then say, well, I can now apply this to a team in my own and play the way I want to play and call the plays I want to play. You know, because no doubt there's times where he said to McVay, we should run out here. And McVay's went, no, pass it, 40-yard pass. Go long. And O'Connell's like, but I can see there's this gap right here on their defensive line. If we adjust this way and shift the line that way, we can free up a clear lane and get a good sizable gain on the ground. And McVay be like, nah, pass. So for me, I think it looks like it's a combination of both, but that's just one man's perception. Everyone is probably looking at it differently, but that's just how I see it, that losing the O'Connell, I don't like to lose good coaches in general, because we just kind of seem to have a revolving door. It's great for these guys because they're coming in and they're developing and moving on, but we need stability there. As much as we need it on the field, which is why it's a combination of both. We're losing a lot of players due to injury, so we have no stability whatsoever, I would say, especially in that offensive line. And because of the chopping and changing coaches, you've got to learn a new playbook every year, but new coaching styles, new coaching systems pretty much every year as well. Having to work with a brand new coach who doesn't know you or whatever, like, it's unstable. Not as opposed to unstable, is how I kind of see it.
Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
And lastly, Tony, one of the LA Rams UK team, has sent us in a few questions. Is this a Super Bowl hangover or a more worrying symptom of underlying issues in the squad? And are we now paying the price for the Super Bowl win / can things improve or are we in for a few years of mediocrity? Now, when he tweeted this, I just wanted to reply yes to it and just leave it at that, because it's one of the ones I think you could say yes to all of that. What say you, Andy?
Yeah, I agree. You could say yes to all of it. I think, you know, we have touched previously on some of the stuff. Yeah, there may be a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. You know, maybe it's not so much the hangover, it's the pressure's off more than anything now for a lot of these players because they've done it. You know, like I said, Stafford's done what he was brought in to do. You know, it was right upgrade from Scoff to Stafford. Stafford's going to win you a Super Bowl. Well, I've done it now. Yeah, job's done. I got paid and I'm happy now. No more pressure. You know, I think we've talked about it throughout the season, you know. Yeah, underlying issues with the squad, you know, we've gone all in and basically now we're having to rely on, you know, undrafted free agents, late round pickups, you know. There's reasons they're in that position. They're not, you know, starting NFL caliber players. Things can improve, you know. The season's not over. I think after the Niners game, I think a lot of people were, you know, doom and gloom, that's our season finished with. There is still a lot of football to be played, you know. Anything can happen. We still all remember no win November, you know. You know, it was all doom and gloom and look where we ended up, you know. A couple of wins, you know, and a couple of other results going our way. We're back to top of the, you know, we're back to top of our, and we're potentially, you know, going again, you know. And, like anything else, once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. You know, it's luck of the draw on that day, you know, sometimes of how it goes. You know, but like we've touched on before, if you know, the likes of AD retires and, you know, things aren't going quite to plan, you know, we can be at a point where we are going to have to trade away and, you know, we may have a few years of mediocrity. You know, it might be... One thing I could possibly see happening is maybe doing is having a couple of years of maybe not mediocrity, but, you know, getting to the playoffs, but not, you know, not progressing beyond the wild card round. And then maybe when we've got our first round pick next year is, you know, maybe doing what the Chiefs do and did like a little quick mini rebuild, draft a couple of offensive linemen, you know, a couple of edge players, you know, and then basically running it back again, you know, we could potentially, but, you know, by the time we get to that point, you know, like we said earlier, you took big contracts for a lot of players, and could we afford to keep them in the long run? So, yeah, we'll just have to see.
That's it. And just like you said, just to wrap this up, there is a hell of a lot of football still to be played this year. We are not at the halfway point of the season. This is week 9 coming up. After week 9, half of the season is then gone. We've still got more than half a year to go. There's a lot that could be turned around here. Things can improve. Try not to be kind of I'm keeping my Rams tinted glasses on here. I'm not going to say it. Things can improve. I'm going to leave it at that. Things can improve. Yeah. There's a lot of football play, and who knows what happens. You know, as you get towards the end of the season, teams that have, you know, made the playoffs, they've, you know, secured that, you know, their divisions or whatnot, start kind of taking their foot off the gas a wee bit. You know, especially the way that NFC, but saying that though, I suppose one saving grace is that we don't have to come up against anyone from the NFC East, you know, in the tail end of the season, because, you know, they are really going to be vying and fighting right to the death, I think. Unless the Eagles can go, you know, undefeated, that's going to be like how we know we'll see the NFC West going, that it could come down to the wire. I mean, what it did, I mean, we got beat off of the 49ers in the last game of the season, but still won the division. Yeah. So, you know, that's the way the NFC East could be looking at. So, thank God we're not going to have to come up against any of them in the tail end of the season. So, yeah. So that could be the saving grace in terms of how our schedule runs, that we could be facing more teams that are, you know, out of it, not to play well for. So it could really go in our favour. But like you said, sorry, yeah.
I think as well, you know, as I said, there's a lot of season. A lot of injuries can still happen. It only takes one or two injuries on a team and all of a sudden they'll go from, you know, riding high, as we've seen, to, you know, potentially crashing. You know, so, you know, anything can happen yet. It's not over until it's just mathematically, statistically impossible. And then, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But I still have faith that, you know, this team can turn things around.
Yeah.
You know, and get things moving again, you know. It's just a case of let's just keep positive, keep thinking, you know, that we can do it. And, you know, hopefully the team will figure things out. We've been through patches before. Like I said, we had no win November last year, you know, and everyone was down and out. And, you know, the team was finished. You know, we managed to get it done in the end. So, you know, let's just stay positive and, you know, keep the faith for now until something else changes.
That's it. All the pieces are there. Let's just put them in the right place, yeah, in the right order. And with that, that about does it for this week's edition of Early Rams UK podcast. Thanks for joining me as always, Andy. Always a pleasure to talk to you, mate. And
yep,
let's pray we've got something more positive to talk about next week. Eh?
Yeah, please. Just, you know, just do me a favour. I want to have a happy podcast, not a not a miserable, dejected, down on a dumps podcast, you know.
God, if we win this week, man, we'll have to probably have a two-parter. You know, if it's going to be positive, like, because we'll want to talk about everything that's positive about it.
So maybe either that way, we'll just be like, how do we talk positive again? It's been so long since we've had to do that.
Oh, well, let's see what the future holds. But yeah, thanks for joining me, Andy. I'll catch you again soon. And thanks to everyone for listening, supporting, commenting, sending your questions, whatnot. And we will catch you next week for episode 84. And hopefully I'll win against the Bucks. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care, and we'll catch you next week.